I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You'll learn about a locally produced zombie Western film in about 20 minutes on Cincinnati Edition. But right now, author Craig Johnson is talking about his best-selling mystery centered around Wyoming Sheriff Walt Longmire, which are also the basis for the TV series Longmire. You can talk to Craig, too, by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Well, that last caller, David, was talking about the, you know, setting things in a rural town, Craig, and I was wondering about bringing those big city problems to small town Wyoming. It seems that Walt Longmire seems to run into all sorts of crazies with big, bad problems.
Well, one of the things, every once in a while when I'm doing a library event in Wyoming, I'll have, you know, some nice little ranch lady come over to me and tickle my sleeve and say, you know, I really love your books, but there's no way that those terrible things that you have in your books and on your television show could ever happen in Wyoming. And I don't tell them to get the Attorney General's office report on crime on an annual basis, because even though it is an area, you know, that is more sparsely populated, you know, we still deal with a lot of the same issues that a lot of law enforcement deals with across the country, like that. And you know, in the books, you know, one of the dirty little secrets about the books is that, you know, every single one of them is based off of a newspaper article. Generally, you know, what I'll do is I'm traveling through Wyoming and Montana, and I'm in Pendleton, Oregon today. Like that, I'll pick up newspaper articles that I think, you know, might be things that, you know, Walt would deal with. You know, and I think what that does is it kind of keeps the books grounded in a reality that I think the books and the television series need. Like, I mean, I don't ever want to have Walt chasing Al-Qaeda in Crook County, or I don't ever want to have Walt on a cruise ship or Walt on a skateboard or things like that. And so it kind of helps, you know, to have that as a guideline so that Walt's dealing with the things that Western sheriffs have to deal with.
In Serpent's Tooth, the ninth of the Walt Longmire mysteries, you have some religious zealots, a little CIA action, maybe some big oil happening in there, too. And, quite a bit that's going on. And, you know, I noticed I've read the series and gone from story to story that, you know, these problems do come and go. But it's quite a mix, and it really does kind of keep Walt on his toes.
It does. I mean, I guess, you know, if I had Walt just staring out the window every week, I don't think people would probably be entranced by either the television show or the books like that. But yeah, it's you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you try and stay as real as you can, you know, to the subject matter like that. And in this particular book, it was actually a newspaper article from the Rapid City Journal. Look at, and I don't know if anybody, if your listeners might remember, like that, but there was actually one of the Warren Jeffs compounds that was actually over in Custer County, right across the border from Wyoming. And, you know, what was happening was that they had one of these, you know, polygamy fundamentalist compounds there, and they had, you know, gun towers, and they said they weren't gun towers, but they were towers. They had guys with guns in them, and so to me, that always means the gun tower.
Uh-huh.
And evidently, the South Dakota State Police took the same attitude as I did. But you know, one of the things that was happening as a byproduct of that group being there was that they were actually getting rid of the 13 and 14 young teenage boys and kind of throwing them out. You know, banning them from, you know, talking to their families or having anything to do with anybody in the group on these trumped up religious charges, so that the older men could have access to younger and more wives like that, which is, you know, as hideous as the whole situation is, one of the side effects with these 13 and 14 year old boys that had never seen, you know, a TV or a telephone before, are suddenly out on the streets of Rapid City and Gillette and Newcastle with no way to, you know, support themselves, no resources, you know, nobody to contact or anything. And so I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, what if one of these young men was to turn up, you know, in Walt Longmire's county? How would he deal with it like that? And when it starts out, it actually starts out as something of a social case where they're trying to find a foster home for this boy. But then the more the investigation deepens, you know, the more that we discover that his advocate, his mother within this group, is actually missing, and nobody seems to be coming forward with any straight answers as to, you know, where she might have gone or what might have happened to her. And that's when it kind of turns into more of a criminal case and comes under the purview of Sheriff Walt Longmire.
Well, the books have been made into a very successful television series called Longmire on A&E on Monday nights. And I was wondering how was that for you as an author, having your books come to life on the television screen?
You know, the closest thing that I can, you know, give as an example is it's something along the lines of having a house plant in your house for like 7 or 8 years and then waking up one morning and have it start talking to you. It's it's a very wonderful thing. It's a little odd, but very wonderful nonetheless. Look at, and I've had a pretty wonderful relationship with the folks at Warner and the wonderful folks at A&E. Look at it. They've done an amazing job of keeping me kind of in the loop. They made me an executive creative consultant, you know, which means I get, text messages at 3:30 in the morning that say, which way does the Powder River run again, north or south? how far is it down to Cheyenne? We've got them saying they're going to be back in an hour. And I'm like, no. That's a 12-hour trip. Look at it. And so it's kind of been a kind of a fun thing to be involved with, you know, to the point to where, you know, they send me the scripts and I actually go through the scripts and give them feedback. And then also to the point where they actually sent me the DVDs of the auditions, you know, for the actors that they were looking at, for Walt Longmire, which was kind of interesting because they asked me, you know, well, do you ever think of any actors whenever you're thinking about Walt, whenever they were in the process of doing the casting for the television show? And I said, no, not really. I mean, I use real people, you know, my friends, family, neighbors, all of those people that I've known most of my life. I use them more as the basis for characters. And they said, well, if you were to think of characters, or actors for the character of Walt, who would you think of? And I said, well, Joel McRae, Gary Cooper, Ben Johnson, you know. And they said, well, that's no help at all because all those guys have been dead for about 30 or 40 years. So I wasn't a great deal of help as far as that kind of thing was concerned. But then they started sending me the DVDs for the auditions, and I actually got to watch the auditions for who it was that they were thinking about. And, you know, a couple of things about Walt is he's not a spring chicken. He's what I tend to refer to as over. He's over age, he's overweight, he's overly depressed, but he still gets up in the morning and gets the job done. But he's not a small man like that. And so I was kind of teasing them about it. And I said, it really doesn't matter who you get because everybody in Hollywood's 5'4". Well, they didn't think that was very funny at all. Then whenever they sent me the audition DVDs, they sent me the one for Robert Taylor. Like, my first response was, well, they took my advice after all. Then I discovered it was a different Robert Taylor. He's actually 6'4". He's a big guy. They'd written that on the envelope. He's 6'4".
Well, I have an email from Pete who's asking, what do you think about the differences between the characters in your book and those on the series?
Well, I mean, some of the differences that they've had to make, you know, were pretty obvious. I mean, the big thing is, you know, they've got 42 minutes to tell a story. I mean, they don't even have 42 minutes and 20 seconds. They've got 42 minutes to tell a story, whereas I have hundreds of pages in which to develop character and do things a little bit different from the way that they do. So it's a little bit different. You know, whenever you go into television, it's going to be a slightly different art form than that, you know, of a novel. One of the first big things that they said to me right off the bat was, they said, we're thinking about making Henry and Walt about 10 years younger than they are in the books, you know, because in the books, you know, Walt and Henry are Vietnam veterans. I had the really horrible, you know, cowboy author response to that. And I was like, well, now why are we doing that? And their response to me was, we'd really like this show to run for about 10 years. And we'd rather not have Walt and Henry on walkers by the time we get to the end of it. So every once in a while, you know, I have to kind of like, you know, turn my horns in a little bit, you know, and make allowances, you know, for what it is that they do and allow them to do the job that they do as well as they do it.
Author Craig Johnson, author of the Walt Longmire Mysteries here on Cincinnati Edition. If you have a question for Craig, call us at 419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. Lori emailed us and says, does Craig know of any female authors setting mysteries in rural settings? It seems to be the domain of male authors.
No, not particularly. I mean, there are actually a lot of mystery authors like that who write in a more rural sense. You know, one of my favorites is Margaret Cole, who writes a series that takes place on the Wind River areas there in Wyoming, which I think is absolutely marvelous. Look at, there's also another author by the name of Laurie Armstrong who writes about the Black Hills region up there in South Dakota. I could go on and on, but there are a number of very wonderful female writers that take that particular genre on.
Well, thank you for that question, Lori. And I wanted to ask you, Craig, how having that series has changed things as you're out on tour. You mentioned you're in Pendleton, Oregon today to make an appearance, but as you're out on tour, what is most often asked, and is it about the book or is it about the TV series?
It varies from time to time. Like it's kind of interesting like that because the crowds have grown, you know, exponentially like that, you know, from the people. I mean, you know, Longmire's pulling in, you know, like sometimes with the DVR recordings, as many as 6 million people, you know, every week, like to watch. Like, and wow. So that's a very large audience to draw from. So, and an awful lot of those people, you know, tend to, you know, trickle into the bookstores. Like, so just last night, like that, the bookstore owner asked, you know, how many people had ever been to a bookstore or been to an author event, and had never been to a bookstore or an author event, and about half the people that were there, you know, actually raised their hands. Like, and so it's kind of nice, like, to be able to draw people, you know, from the television audience like that and be able to, you know, introduce them to the books, you know, but yeah, I mean, things have changed quite a bit. There was one instance that I think, you know, probably illustrates it, you know, to a certain extent. I was actually, when I started the tour last year, for As the Crow Flies, like that, I was starting it off at the Buffalo Bill Center for the West over in Cody, which is a really magnificent museum over there. And I like starting the tours from there. And we were headed up to Billings to jump on a plane, and I stopped in Red Lodge, Montana, to get something to eat for lunch. And I, when I'm not wearing a cowboy hat, I'm generally wearing, you know, a ball cap, and it's one of the ball caps from our website at CraigAllenJohnson.com. I thought I'd sneak that in there on you, Mark. And it's you can actually get the hats there. Look at it. If you didn't know that there was no 24th County in Wyoming, and you didn't know that there was no such thing as Durant, Wyoming, they look very real. There are brown caps, you know, with gold embroidery like that, you know, with a seal for the fictitious county of Walz County like that. And when I was wearing one of those ball caps, I was writing a check for lunch, and that kind of gives you an indication of what kind of a place it is. You can still write a check for lunch. And so I'm writing a check for lunch, and this woman behind the counter, she goes, "Where'd you get that hat?" And I thought, oh, no, she thinks I'm a real sheriff's deputy and there's some kind of a problem. And I pointed it at my head and I said, "It's not a real county." And she goes, "Heck, it's not. It's Walt Longmire's county." And so I felt like I'd been smacked. And I looked at her and I go, "Well, I'm Craig Johnson." And she goes, "So?" Like, "Well, I'm the one that writes the books." And she goes, "What books?" And I said, "The books the TV show is based off of." And her response was, "There are books." You know. And so I told Viking Penguin when I was going on tour this year that should be our motto. Yes, there are books. And so it's kind of nice, like, to get that kind of you know, of visibility for the books like that. But the word is still going out in a number of different ways. So.
You've seen the TV series. Now read the books, right? As it goes along.
Exactly.
And didn't you, in one of our previous conversations, I believe you mentioned that you're frequently, mistaken for Walt Longmire.
Well, an awful lot of times, like whenever we're doing talks, I mean, I'm a pretty good sized guy like that. And, you know, and I wear a hat just like Walt. I wear boots just like Walt. Like, and, you know, my wife probably has the best phrase about that. She says that Walt Longmire is who Craig would like to be in about 10 years, but he's off to an incredibly slow start. And there's probably more honesty in that than I'm willing to admit. But an awful lot of the times whenever I go and do events, people will say things to me like, "Okay, well, you know, when you carried Henry down off the mountains, you know, in the cold dish, you know," and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That was a novel. That was a character in the novel like that. So sometimes, an awful lot of the times, I have to kind of straighten them out and say, "Well, no, that actually wasn't me. I just write the stories." You know, I always feel like Marcus Welby. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on television. You know?
And that that line between fiction and reality is somewhat blurred for television viewers. You, I heard, get notes for Walt all the time.
It actually is. Look, I actually get notes that people will pass to me. Like that, I get a lot of women who actually, you know, pass me the perfumed little envelopes. Look at, for Walt. Look at, and the first thing I do when I get home from tour is dutifully turn those over to my wife right off the bat. Like, make sure I don't get into trouble.
I'm talking with Craig Johnson. You can, too, by calling 419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. And you mentioned a little bit earlier, Craig, about how Walt is over, and I kind of sensed in A Serpent's Tooth that he's kind of feeling like he's over. You know, with as you know, are continuing this series, you know, what do you see and how long a future do you see for Walt Longmire?
You know, try not to ever say never like that, but, you know, I mean, Walt is getting a little bit longer in the tooth like that, you know, and that actually is the kind of characters that I like to write about. I enjoy, you know, writing about characters that, you know, that have a history, that have some seasoning like that, that have had experiences in their lives like that. That makes them much more interesting to me. And, you know, with Walt, like that, I mean, he just won a re-election, you know, here just a few years back. Okay, so he's still got to serve out his term as far as that's concerned. But he does have that undersheriff, Victoria Moretti, like that, who he would like to get elected. Like that, and there's never been an elected female sheriff in Wyoming. So we may, you know, may see something going along those lines. Like, but then again, you know, he's also got another deputy by the name of Santiago Cesar Victoria, who is a young Basque deputy, who's a very capable young man and very popular within the community. Look at, so there may be more of a runoff, you know, between these characters as time goes by. Look at, but one of the things that I enjoy is that, you know, whenever Walt gets in a foot race, you know, with maybe some assailants or something, you know, generally he gets outrun by his deputies. Generally they can, you know, they can run faster than he can, and you know, generally they get to the bad guys before he does. Like, he kind of loses his breath a little bit. It's kind of hard to run, you know, at 5,000 feet, which is generally the altitude for the entire state of Wyoming. And that's one of the things that they've kept going in the TV show, which I really like. You know, Walt gets a little winded every once in a while. He's not the 6'2" of twisted steel and sex appeal. Every woman wanted him. Every man feared him. He could kill anyone with a #2 Ticonderoga pencil in 3.2 seconds. I really don't really care for that kind of character, because I don't think it's a very realistic character. And so, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do is try and capture something that's a little bit more of the reality of rural law enforcement, and just law enforcement, you know, in particular.
You have a background in law enforcement, but I noticed it's you're not very forthcoming about that background in law enforcement. Why is that?
Well, you know, it was an awfully long time ago. Maybe.
Oh, are you saying you're a bit over too, Craig?
Yeah, I think, you know, that it creeps up on all of us like that. But my experiences, you know, were as a senior special officer like that, and it was you know, the very bottom rung. You know, it was kind of a stationary patrolman like that, and so it's kind of like being a soldier in an army like that. And you know, being a sheriff is, you know, it's a very unique, as I said, you know, kind of law enforcement, in the sense that, you know, people have to vote for you, but you're also kind of in charge. I mean, you know, some of the counties that are out in the West, you know, they're as big as New England states, you know, and you've got these sheriffs, you know, and they've got limited resources, limited staff like that, and they pretty much have to be able to police, you know, very vast areas. Look at, so they're kind of like a general in an army, and their whole bailiwick, their entire, you know, realm of influence is so awe-inspiring, in the sense that, you know, they have their own little prisons that they're responsible for, called jails. They're in charge of, you know, automobile law enforcement. They're in charge of, you know, court security. They're in charge of serving papers. They're in charge of just general, you know, law enforcement. And it kind of is a very unique style of law enforcement. And so, you know, an awful lot of my experiences, you know, were more general, in the sense that I think probably the best thing that I took from my experiences was making sure that the humor, you know, stays in the books, because I can always tell whenever somebody's writing crime fiction that's never been around the police before, they generally are so serious, you know, and the characters, you know, are so serious about the case. We have to solve the case. We have to, you know, think about the case, look at it consistently like that. And I can guarantee you, Mark, if I was to throw you, make you invisible and throw you in the back of a squad car back there in Cincinnati, you would laugh your ass off by the time the day was over with, like that, because, I mean, that's the only way that you can really kind of get through the day. Anybody that's ever had a difficult job knows that you either laugh or you cry, and, you know, on most days you kind of end up doing a little bit of both with that. But the attitude was more of what I was able to bring, you know, from, you know, my experiences that are over 20 years ago. And, you know, the experiences and the wonderful stories that I get from all of the Wyoming sheriffs and deputies and the stuff and up in Montana, these are the guys that I use, you know, for my, an awful lot of, you know, the reality of Walt's experiences in law enforcement. And the more outrageous stories that are in my books, I have to admit, are generally from sheriffs, you know, that have actually told me some of these stories. And every once in a while I'll get an email from somebody that'll say, that one story that you got on page 187, that can't possibly have really happened. And I have to write people back and say, well, in all actuality, it did. And let me introduce you to Sheriff Goody Pickering of Bighorn County, Montana, who actually had this actually happen to him.
Well, some great stories, and love the humor as much as the mystery in the Longmire series. But thanks for your time today. I appreciate it, Craig.
Thank you, Mark. It was my pleasure, as usual.
Greg Johnson, the creator of the Walt Longmire Mysteries. The latest, the ninth in the series, is A Serpent's Tooth, and is available where books are sold. And the TV series based on the books, Longmire, airs Monday evenings on A&E. More about Craig, his books, and the series on our website, wvxu.org. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition.